Welcome to Energy Stew. So, hey, let's get happy. What fun. Aren't we all happy yet? Well, maybe we need to get happier. So we can use some help. Actually, there are tons of happiness people out there selling books and offering happiness workshops. And a lot of them are saying the same thing. So what's new? Hey, let's find out. Because actually, there's a book that has 50 shortcuts to bringing more love, balance, and joy into your life. 50 shortcuts. I read this book, and I'm taking those shortcuts because I want to find happiness now, because that's the name of the book, is Find Happiness Now. And we're interviewing the author of Find Happiness Now, Jonathan Robinson. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
I'm glad you could join us. This is really a valuable book because it offers so many shortcuts, so many processes, things we can do in our lives for ourselves to create happiness out of different situations, to find fulfillment, to achieve and balance and joy. And this is an opportunity that I think our listeners would like to know how to purposely create more joy in their lives. You start off in the book with five basic themes for enjoyment of life. And those are probably themes that are true in most happiness books. We should start with those anyway and move on.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, happiness researchers have found that there's infinite ways to be miserable, but there's kind of just, you know, five ways to be happy. and really fulfilled people tend to follow these five principles. And the first part is that they have a certain amount of pleasure in their life, you know, whether it be good food or good sex or, you know, just nice experiences that way. And that's pretty obvious. But the others are less obvious. One is that they have a hobby or activity that they lose themselves into. It might be sports, or it might be that you just totally love your job, or it might be some kind of artistic thing. And in modern-day life, people sometimes forget that. But the most important finding they had was that the quality and quantity of your relationships largely determines your happiness level, much more than, say, the amount of money you have. So relationships are key. A sense of meaning is key, and also a sense of accomplishment. So if you can put those five elements together, you're likely to be a pretty fulfilled person.
Right, and to get out of yourself, because a lot of people don't have these opportunities in their lives, and they kind of cycle inward and cycle down at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a way of cycling up and out, or out and up.
Yeah, you know, one of the findings I found interesting was that the single best way to, or quickest way to boost your own happiness level is to do an act of kindness for a stranger or friend. And in my book, which is kind of a greatest hits of what science has shown leads people to being happier, I have a lot of methods that have to do with creating simple, fun experiences for other people, because I know that can really boost your own happiness level.
And there's some of that in the book where we can consciously look to thank people and appreciate people on an ongoing basis. Not very many people really are good at demonstrating appreciation.
Yeah, you know, the methods in the Find Happiness Now book are what I would think of as the greatest hits that can be done in under 2 minutes, because I'm kind of lazy, and if a method takes more than a minute or two, I won't use it. So one of the things I like about appreciation is that it doesn't cost anything, it doesn't have any calories, and it can be done very, very quickly. And the boost to your own and another person's happiness level is very real. So it's a shame that people don't do it more often. And I'm not talking about making something up. I'm talking about you're already thinking, gee, they, you know, that's a great sweater, or gee, they're, I really appreciate having you in my life, but you're not saying it. You know, if you say it, then you'll find that you feel a lot better.
Right, and we're not used to doing that necessarily, so we should put notices up on our refrigerator or around our rooms in our house and remind ourselves to be grateful to people, to express gratefulness to people.
Yeah, yeah, and also it really helps to have a good technique. Many years ago, I had heard of an Indian guru who supposedly had this magical phrase or mantra for helping people feel immense gratitude. So I traveled all the way to India to meet this guy, and India is not an easy place to get to. So, you know, I travel 18,000 miles, and I take a rickshaw for a couple hours and wait 4 hours to meet him. Finally, I get a chance to talk to this guy in a white flowing robe, and I say, hey, you know, I heard that you have this phrase or mantra for helping people feel gratitude. And he says in a deep Indian voice, yes, my mantra is the most powerful one on earth. And he leans in to whisper it to me, and I'm, you know, pretty excited. And he says, whenever possible, repeat these words in your head. The mantra I give you are the words, thank you. Well, I said,
what a secret.
That's it? Thank you? I traveled 18,000 miles for thank you? That's it? And his response was, no, that's it is the mantra you have been using, and that makes you feel like you never have enough. My mantra is thank you, not that's it. That's it will take you nowhere. So, you know, I was really kind of pissed off. But I figured I would actually try out what he said. And he mentioned that, you know, you really have to say thank you from your heart, not your head. And you have to say it a bunch of times until it develops a momentum that you can really feel the blessing. So, you know, I left his ashram, I got a taxi, and, you know, I said thank you for the money in my pocket, and then thank you for the air conditioning in the taxi, and I got to my hotel, I took a shower, thank you for the shower, thank you for the hot shower, you know, and thank you for the food that I got and ate, and thank you for the TV, and it went on, and within about an hour, I actually had tears of gratitude going down my face, because I really tuned into this world of free blessings we have. You know, we live better than billionaires lived 15 years ago. We have better health care, more entertainment, you know, can call somebody anywhere in the world from anywhere in the world, all these great things. But unless you have a very simple method to really tune into those blessings and that gratitude, then it tends to kind of become invisible to us.
Well, I think so many people are promoting gratitude nowadays that we should really think of what we're grateful for and make lists. And if we have these lists of gratitude, then, and we can remind ourselves what we're grateful for, then it uplifts our spirit. Now, this is taking it to another level, because that's just acknowledging it. This is expressing it, and finding ways to reach out, even, you know, to others to say thank you, the universe, to a showerhead or whatever. It's a way that I think can be very life changing, as you said, it was really important for you to start doing that. And I think another thing, and you talk in your book on when you look at spiritual aspects of happiness, that there's so much serendipity and synchronicity in our lives. And if we can become aware of the magic that happens each day in, for instance, magical parking spaces.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's amazing to me how life shows up in very serendipitous ways that lately I've really decided every time I see something magic, I immediately say thank you for that gift. I want the universe to know that I've noticed and I'm pleased about it. So maybe it'll encourage them to do even more.
Yeah, I think that, you know, what you focus on grows, and the more you acknowledge that you have these blessings or that you're getting this kind of help, the more you tune into a world where that is just part of your world, and certainly that feels good.
Yeah, and so if we can have these shortcuts each day that we work on, and there's so many, there are 50 in your book, and they're not all for everybody. I mean, I went through maybe 5 or 6 of them, and I said, no, I don't think I'll do those, but I'll do these others.
That's why I put in 50, because I think people have different affinities, and, you know, not everybody likes vanilla ice cream, and you have to try out different things and find the ones that work the best for you. But really, it only takes one technique that really works well to change your life. And so if you have a bunch to choose from, you can say, that one doesn't feel right. This one looks interesting, though. And they're powerful because they're so practical and quick. You know, they don't involve therapy or pills. They are things that you're already doing in your life. They may not even take any extra time, but they do give you a change in consciousness or perspective.
Right. And there are different themes in your book. You have different sections. One is about feeling really good. Then section 2 is loving yourself. So there are shortcuts to loving yourself. Then the next one is improving your relationships. And section 4 is connecting with spirit. And section 5 is living your dreams. So these are all shortcuts to these themes that create happiness.
Yeah, you know, the way I came across these is when I was a teenager, I was severely depressed and basically started reading self-help books. And since I had nothing else to do, I read hundreds of them. And I found that most of them were pretty worthless, meaning that they may have had one or two good ideas, but a lot of times they were too tough to actually use. But every now and then I'd come across an idea that was so simple or compelling that I said, hey, I gotta try that out. And if it worked on me, then I you know, kept it. And later when I was out of my depression, I started teaching these methods to other people, and they found it valuable, and I got on Oprah a few times, and she liked the method, so it ended up being my career. And I think that in this day and age with a lot of stress and anxiety, that it's important to have a technology that brings us back to the peace and joy that we knew as kids. And it really takes something, because the momentum now is always for people to be busy and stressed out, and you need to find some way that works for you to get back to a depth of feeling of peace and joy. That is really what we all want.
Right. And life doesn't always give us peace and joy. And so we need to sometimes use techniques to create it. And one technique you have is about creating silver linings, neutralizing.
Or neutralizing bad news, right. Or, you know, because, you know, bad stuff happens, whether it be yesterday my iPhone stopped working for no apparent reason. You know, it just stopped. And, you know, what do you do? Well, you know, one of the things I do is I sometimes ask myself a question that helps empower me. And in this case, the question is, what could be good about this? And the first thing I answered was, nothing. Which is how I might normally answer that. But after that, I kind of forced myself to come up with a couple answers. it led me to call a friend I hadn't talked to in a long time, kind of a tech friend. And I said, hey, my iPhone, do you have any ideas of what I can do? And he made a suggestion, and it worked. It worked immediately. The iPhone's working now. And it led to us having an hour-long phone conversation and connecting together and me really appreciating him and missing him and just having a very sweet connection. So that's often the case. When something bad happens, we focus on all the negative ramifications that might happen, but we never focus on what could be good about it. Maybe you find a friend, maybe you avoid an accident, maybe something good happens. And just the fact that it's in your mind that there might be something good that comes of the things in our life helps you to not go down a negative road, at least for very long.
That's interesting. I'm thinking back on numbers of times when my different cars have broken down, mm-hmm. when I'd be on trips. And in every case, the breakdown occurred in ways that were magically fixed in ways that you couldn't figure out. You know, people would show up, experts would show up, cars would drive by that had just the right answers, or you know, and immediately things would happen. You know, I was never stuck for long, and it surprised me because it's added up over time how much synchronicity there was in those events. That I never had trouble in a bad place, that I was really stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And but sometimes you need a simple nudge, like a good question, to help focus you in the right direction. And without that, people get lost in their stories and negativity and poor me. And sometimes you can spend hours, days, or weeks in those stories. So it's really nice to have these techniques, which I call my friends, who can help me get out of the holes that I'm in more quickly and get me back to appreciating the magic that is life.
So who are your friends?
Well, some of my best friends, one is that question, what could be good about this, and the thank you technique. Another friend is... for me, is that I actually schedule things each week to bring me joy. A lot of people, they schedule their work or their doctor's appointments, but they don't schedule the thing that they most love to do. And so once a week, I take out my calendar and I schedule, you know, one of the things I most love to do. And that's brought me immense amount of happiness. And, you know, no matter what's going on in my life, I put happiness and joy as a priority. And people often comment, gee, you look like you're really enjoying life. Well, I am. And it's partly because I'm using a better technology than they're using, which a lot of people, what they're doing is they say, I'll get everything done in my life and then I'll have a good time. Well, you never get everything done in your life. So, you know, that's been a friend over the years.
Right. I do a lot to take care of myself. I'm a senior citizen and I work out a lot, eat properly, and I put a lot of time, joyful time, into finding the right foods, doing the right workouts, and priding myself on how good they make me feel.
Uh-huh.
And I think for a lot of people, physical fitness and nutrition should be joyful, and maybe are opportunities, or even successful dieting for some people. Those might not sound so joyful, but we can see that as self-enhancing, finding, appreciating self-love.
Yeah, yeah. And certainly the research bears out that certain types of exercises in particular, some that only take 3 minutes a day, actually help people feel very good. It releases endorphins. And you can feel the joy rather quickly rather than, you know, hoping someday by doing this workout I'll feel better. So there's a lot of research going on, and most people are unaware of it. They're trying to find joy and happiness without all their cylinders firing. You know, most people don't use a computer from 1965 because it would be too inefficient. yet they are trying to find happiness through rather inefficient methods, like money is a method to find happiness. But it's not actually a very good method. Having, once you're middle class, more money really does not translate to more happiness, or trying to control everything in your life to be the way you want. Well, that's an interesting way of being happy, but it keeps you very busy, and it's not that effective. So I think that these inner methods are actually much more efficient, and if people knew about them, they would just be a lot happier and also less depressed. We have an epidemic of depression, which is really a problem. About 20% of Americans are taking antidepressants, which aren't very effective, cost a lot of money, and have negative side effects. So that seems like a shame.
And you recommend Hypericum.
Yeah, which is better known as St. John's wort. For mild or moderate depression, St. John's wort seems to work as well as the antidepressants without as much as the negative side effects and at about 1/40th the cost. So that's something to try.
And isn't Hypericum also homeopathic?
No, it's an it's an herb.
Okay.
It's actually, I think, a flower.
And
it's used a lot in Europe and Japan, but in America you have a very big pharmaceutical advertising industry that's made a huge amount of money from these antidepressants, even though research shows that they only work for severely depressed people better than placebo. So people are spending a lot of money having these negative side effects, taking a pill that's been shown to have almost no effect, and that's a shame.
And you also lighten up people's bad dreams and bad memories and the voices in our head. You have you used to have a voice in your head, or maybe still do sometimes, called Bertha.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah,
so,
you know, the voice in our head is always talking to us, and we don't have that much control over it. You know, it says what it says, and a lot of what it says is pretty negative. So I call that voice Bertha, and I've learned ways to make Bertha more relaxed or to make her funny. Like, sometimes, you know, I say or do stupid things, and Bertha would always say, "Why'd you do that? You're such an idiot," or something like that. Well, I noticed that if I change the sound of Bertha's voice to sound ridiculous, say like the voice of Mickey Mouse, it no longer had much impact on me. So now I might say, "Why'd you do that? You're such an idiot." Well, it's hard to take that voice seriously, and it sometimes makes me laugh. So there's ways to take our inner dialogue, our thoughts, and especially the negative thoughts, and find ways to kind of neutralize its impact on our emotions.
I also like the technique of thinking about people in our lives that have been negative forces. And I have a few people who have been very nasty to me over time. And you're saying the best thing to do is to construct, with our minds, construct Mickey Mouse ears on them or Bozo noses. And I'm very happy to do that. And it takes the energy, the negative energy away of people like that. I just picture them with looking silly.
Yeah, once you've made fun of somebody in your mind, it tends to neutralize that negative memory, and it, you know, it's kind of like telling people don't think of a pink elephant. Well, the first thing you do is you think of a pink elephant. So if you say, try not to imagine that boss at work who you're afraid of with Mickey Mouse ears and a Bozo nose, well, soon every time you think of them, they have a Mickey Mouse ears and Bozo nose. That certainly makes your feeling about them less intense and perhaps even a little humorous.
Yeah, and that's the idea, is to look at, you know, to be conscious of wherever there is negativity around us and use different traits or different techniques. For instance, I like the suggestion for a list of favorite songs, collect favorite songs. And there are some that really feel wonderful to me that I think, oh, I would love to hear that song again. Well, there's no reason why we can't collect them and then play them when we're down.
Yeah, it's a great method because songs really have an immediate impact on people and can get you out of a hole. I have a playlist on my iPhone of about 150 songs that over time I saw, boy, that song I really like and always makes me feel good. And so I try and play one of those songs every day and sing along. You know, it's very hard to sing along to I Want to Hold Your Hand by the Beatles and feel down. It's just, you know, almost impossible. So it starts my day in the right foot to do something like that. And when you start on the right foot, and then you're more likely to attract good things into your life. You know, people like to be around people who feel good, and happiness is contagious, and so is depression. So if you feel good, probably your mate and children will feel good. If you feel bad, you'll probably put that on them.
That's great. And so we want to keep our moods up. And you also have a section in the book on relationships that I found really helpful, because it's techniques to how to get along with people better, and even how to introduce yourself to new people and start conversations. A lot of people are very awkward among new people and don't know what to say or do, and are afraid of rejection. And you even have a suggestion of make a quota for yourself of being rejected 10 times.
Well, it changed my life. I used to be very, very shy. And so at one time I made a deal with a friend that I'd get 10 rejections in one day. I was 18 and I'd never had a date. So I went out to get rejected. That was my goal. And he said, if you get 10 rejections, I'll treat you to a trip to Hawaii. So this changed my life in an hour, because, you know, I went up to the first woman and I was sweating and I was shaking and, you know, I barely could talk. And, of course, she said, you know, when I asked her out, she said, oh, I got a boyfriend, and, you know, sorry. And, you know, when I first said hello to her, she said, she sees this guy shaking and sweating, and she said, are you all right? Do you need a doctor? You know, that's how much I was shaking. But, you know, slowly I saw that, you know, I could say something, and women were very nice in saying, hey, I got a boyfriend, or I'm busy, or whatever. But the seventh woman I approached kind of ruined this momentum. By now I was pretty relaxed. I knew what the script was. I knew how it would go. I said, hey, I'm new here, and I'm trying to meet people, and you look very nice. Would you like to have lunch sometime? And she said, sure. And I didn't have a script for sure, so I said, sure what? And she said, yeah, I'd like to go out with you. Really? Or no? So make a long story short, the next seven women all said yes to me, because when you're relaxed in yourself, that kind of has an attractive element. I kind of got over this terror of rejection. And later, you know, now I do a fair amount of traveling. Wherever I go, I like to ask people, you know, hey, do you have a movie you can recommend? Because I'm looking to watch a really good movie tonight. And that's a great question to connect with people, because, you know, they appreciate that you're asking their opinion, and soon they're talking about their favorite movie, and soon you're in a conversation about that. And little simple ways to connect with people are great. So wherever I go, I feel like I'm somewhat surrounded by friends, because I feel like I can go up to anybody and just have a nice conversation with them.
That's great. Jonathan Robinson, it's so wonderful to talk with you about your book, Find Happiness Now. I really appreciate the book. I love reading it. It's so helpful, and you are. And thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Sure. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.